This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. It was far from pretty, but the deal did finally get done at the last minute, a deal to raise the debt ceiling and avert government default. That fight in Congress has dominated the news in Washington for weeks, and it's where we begin our regular Friday political conversation. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Rubin, who writes the blog Right Turn for The Washington Post. I'm also joined by Joyanne Reed, managing editor for TheGrio.com. That's an NBC News site focused on the African-American community. Welcome to you both.
Nice to be here.
Great to be here.
And I want to talk about the effects of that debt fight. They're reflected in a new New York Times CBS poll out today. It shows a record 82% of Americans disapprove of Congress. And it's the Republicans in Congress who are being blamed for the debt ceiling mess more than Democrats or the president. In fact, House Speaker John Boehner's disapproval rating shot way up. Joyanne Reed, do you see a lesson in those numbers about what we just saw?
Well, you know, I think that the lesson in those numbers is that sometimes divided government can get in the way of common sense, and the American people can see that. I mean, I think that this debt fight was not our finest hour. We saw a group of people who were ideologically wedded to cutting government at all costs and were really literally willing to let the country go off a cliff for ideology that had nothing to do with economics.
Jennifer Rubin, a different message that you take away?
Yes. To begin with, Congress is never popular, and it's especially not popular when there's a deal that both the right and the left have problems with. So the numbers don't surprise me at all. I think this was actually one of our finest hours. Everyone talks about bipartisanship. This was a huge amount of bipartisanship. We had over 70 votes in the Senate. We had 269 votes in the House. People think in isolation or in theory that bipartisanship is a good thing. And then when they get a result that isn't everything they want, they complain. Well, bipartisanship by its very nature means some compromise. So I think in a way it was good moment for us. Certainly, the sausage making is never pretty. But I would also say that I don't agree that there was a group willing to push into default. Both Senator McConnell in the Senate and John Boehner on the House leadership side repeatedly said they didn't want default. And in fact, at the end of the day, the vast majority of Republicans voted for it, including a majority of that freshman class, which is primarily the sort of new wave of Tea Party, very staunch fiscal conservatives.
Mm. Another number in that poll that caught my eye, 63% of Americans polled favor raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans, those making more than $250,000 a year, which is something, as we know, that Republicans have been opposing. Jennifer Rubin, should Republicans rethink? Are they out of step with where the American people are on this?
Well, I think it depends upon sort of how the question is phrased and what people understand. If you ask the same question, are you in favor of raising taxes on small business, the number will be overwhelmingly in the other direction. But I think, in fact, what we saw this week with the high volatility in the stock market with job numbers that were better than awful but really pretty paltry is that I think the president and the Democrats are going to have a hard time making the case now that we should be raising taxes on anyone. If you remember, this was exactly the same argument we had in December of 2010 when President Obama very eloquently said you can't raise taxes in a recession. Well, we're still there. So what's the economic justification for doing that? And I think the primary issue for the White House, for Congress, certainly for voters, is how do you create a pro-jobs, pro-growth agenda that will hopefully help dig us out of this terrible ditch we're in?
Joyanne Reed, do you think the Obama administration can make the case, or Democrats can make the case, for letting those Bush-era tax cuts expire for the wealthiest sector?
Well, I think they've already made that case, and I think the American people are pretty smart on this. I think what we just heard, really, even in that last flurry of information, was the disconnect between economic reality, the reality the American people see, and the reality that the right wing of the Republican Party, which really now controls the Republican Party, believes in. And what I mean by that is we're not learning the very basic lessons of history. When you look at the history of recessions, they are normally solved by a heavy dose of stimulus. When FDR retracted stimulus in his second term and began to go to austerity and try to balance the budget, what we saw was unemployment shoot back up. In this particular recession, which was incredibly deep when President Obama came in, we started out injecting stimulus, but it was restricted because you had, again, a group of Republicans willing to filibuster anything in the Senate that contained true stimulus, so we had to water down the stimulus with tax cuts. We've shown over and over again that tax cuts do not end recessions, but we're still wedded to policies that are about tax cuts and austerity. We're not even learning the lessons of recent history. If you look at England's economy, their economy is essentially at zero growth because they attempted austerity as the answer to a recession. So the American people are pretty common sense about this. They understand that you can't have an economic recovery that allows the wealthiest people to pay nothing into and pay no down payment on the debt. We shouldn't even really be focusing on deficits in the middle of a recession. We should be focusing on economic growth. But the House of Representatives has proposed zero, not a single jobs bill. It's all about cutting government, and it's ideological. It's not about economics, because economists are pretty unanimous. We need to inject stimulus into this economy, but all the Republicans want to talk about is tax cuts, and all they want to talk about is cutting government. But the American people have seen through that. They want shared sacrifice, and they want stimulus to create jobs. But we can't get that through the House.
We could talk about this for a whole lot longer, but I want to move on and turn to Republican presidential politics and someone who is not yet officially in the race.
With the economy in trouble, communities in crisis, and people adrift in a sea of moral relativism, we need God's help. That's why I'm calling on Americans to pray and fast like Jesus did.
That's Texas Governor Rick Perry in a video message inviting people to join him at a day of prayer and fasting in Houston this weekend, paid for by the American Family Association. First, Joanne Reed, do you assume Rick Perry will run for president? And if so, what do you think his chances are of being the nominee?
Well, you know, I haven't had any recent conversations with God, because apparently that's who knows best what Rick Perry's plans are. But yeah, I expect that he will be tempted to get in because the field is still so unsettled. There's still nobody that's really popular and capturing enough of the base to really be a front runner, except Mitt Romney, who no one seems to like, but who's still ahead. So I would expect that he would get in, and that it would then become really a sort of a three-person race between Romney, Michelle Bachmann, and Rick Perry.
And Jennifer Rubin, Rick Perry is the nominee. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I don't talk to God, but I do talk to the Perry folks, and they confirm that he will be getting into the race sometime in August. And they won't say that directly on the record, but clearly all the signs are pointing to that. I actually expect them to get in a day or two after Ames. What better way to step on the winners?
You're talking about the Ames straw poll coming up in Iowa.
Correct. So it's a great way to step on the winners' headlines and get into the race. I do agree that it will sort of devolve into a three-person race. The question is whether Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry cannibalize the same base of voters.
Okay, thanks to both, Jennifer Rubin and Joanne Reed.
Thank you.
Jennifer Rubin writes the blog Right Turn for The Washington Post. Joanne Reed is managing editor for thegrio.com. This is NPR.